Everything is changing so fast, but now with Xfinity, you can power a house full of devices at once with ultra-low lag. Do more of what you love with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, pals. This is Shift and Steer. And, dude, it's episode 420, man.
Don't do it. Just don't do it.
Oh, man, dude. I am so stoned on automotive. I'm just like, I've been token exhaust.
Well, then you'd be dead.
420. Let's roll this thing up. Let's wrap it up. Let's pipe it on and take a long hit of really good car talk today. So, hey, man, it's Aaron and Brad. We're here. Matt is off doing something else. I don't know what he's doing. And, you know, I kind of know what he's doing. It's, you know, the 420 episode. We know where Matt's at. Hey, Aaron, later January into February, we don't see it quite as much in Southern California. You've experienced it. But you know what? It's the cold weather blues, pal.
Big time.
The cold weather blues. And I remember back in the Midwest, in Omaha, when, you know, you'd be sitting there, you'd want to go out and work on your car, but it would be so cold out in the garage.
Yeah.
And even in like April, when the big indoor car show came, and sometimes it would still be nasty weather. So, you know, you'd be trying to get your car there. And then once you got it there, you know, this was pre-trailer days, man. We drove them, and you'd get there and the car would be filthy. So you'd spend a whole day cleaning it, all that gross grime off the road and everything. And
yeah, the Jeep looks that way right now.
But you know what? I read an article online, and this was on Hemmings, and I was amazed. I had never heard of this, dude. There's Pesto. For those of you who can't see, Aaron just raised a big bowl of Pesto.
So, he's sitting on the floor staring at me. Just
yeah, like, hey, I'm
staring. It's like, you have to sit on my lap, dog. There's nothing else.
But dude, back in 1962 in Chicago, they held indoor drag race at the amphitheater. Now, have you ever heard of this?
No, but folks, you got to look this up, because I don't know what they were doing in 62 on 420, apparently, but not such a good idea.
So somebody had this great idea to promote indoor drag races so they could race year round. They held three of them before the fire marshal kind of clued in, found out what they were doing, and went, that's such a great idea, you know?
I'm surprised it took three different events.
Hey, this is before social media, Aaron, you know? They were, you got to look it up on Hemmings, because they have some great photos. And these guys, they were racing 440 feet. Now, some of the things to consider here is each lane had no more than like a single car garage door to exit at speed.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they exited into. Did they go outside? Did they? I mean,
they exited into a big mining pit.
No, out where the dumpsters were, and then you had to take a hard right, you know?
Right.
But It was crazy. There was a shot of a like a 32 Ford that had hit one of the garage door openings. But don't worry, they had hay bales there. That, you know, there are hay bales lining the track, you know, so nobody got hurt.
I mean, even that was a bad idea because you hit a hay bale and you go into flames and then the hay.
Yeah, now you got more tinder, right?
I mean, just, oh my gosh.
But Eric, were you reading where these guys had to stage, this where the staging lanes were?
Right, outside.
Outside, in the snow, in the freezing temps. Now, that's bad enough just because you got to rough it out and sit out there in your car, which you're not going to sit there idling, so you're going to be freezing. But these guys were tough, man. This was 62. They were in Chicago. But think of guys that come up to the line now and stage. And I've been to the drag races, bracket racing and like that. And guys get really, you know, oh, man, I gotta back up and do it again. My slicks aren't hot enough. Think of this. They're bone hard. They're 1962, so the slicks weren't all that great like they are now. I think drag radials are probably 100 times better than what their slicks were back then.
Totally.
And then they were saying that a lot of the cars, because they drove around the building, had snow caked up in the wheel housings. And so that snow's dropping off on the track. So now you got water on the track, indoors, with hay bales, and an exit door no wider than your single car garage door.
Seriously,
what could go wrong?
No exaggeration. I mean, no. If anything, I think you understated it a little bit. Unusual for Brad.
It is awesome. It is. You got to check it out. It's just one of those things you kind of go, wow, cool idea. The guys were innovative, but, you know, go to Hemmings, check it out. It's back to the 60s. Indoor vintage drag racing was a thing. And as the writer points out, and people complain about outdoor drag races being too loud. Think what it sounded like in there.
And, you know, they all ran zoomies or, you know, open pipe. I mean, back then, too. Oh, gosh, that must have been brutal.
I will admit, I've been to indoor races, including, well, of course, they do Supercross in some of the big arenas.
Right.
I have been to sprint car races in Indianapolis indoors. And now they have safety regulations there. They don't let you sit in the first four rows.
Right. Well, plus it's usually a dome of some kind. So the ceiling is, you know, 8 stories high. This looked like it was just a warehouse.
Yes, I know. It's no, but I mean, and those are wild. When you watch those sprint cars, I mean, they get going fast and they're going along. And I've been to indoor flat track races with motorcycles too, which is pretty crazy.
Oh yeah. Super fun. Hey Brad, I have a new handle for you. So instead of Bradley _ Hagar, it's Bradley _ Hagar. I mean, Hagar, where did Hagar
come from?
Yeah, I know. Cause I looked at my name thing and yours says Brad Fanshawe. Mine just says Aaron. And I was thinking at the same
time, why is it understated?
My last name. So I said, as I was talking, Brad, I'm tired today. I have to say my brain is not working today. I almost put water in my Cheerios and
water in the Cheerios. That wouldn't be good either. No.
Literally, I took it to the sink and almost put water in it. I don't know. Like I was washing it first with the Cheerios in it. It's been one of those weird mornings.
Same way for me, man. You know, I did something this morning. I'm not even going to repeat what it was, but I went, you know, I thought it through, didn't have to do it. 1-2 beats, turned around and I did it. And I went, why did I do that? And I marked it off to muscle memory. It's something I do every day, but I didn't have to do it today. But I went ahead and did it anyway. So,
it was terrible. I don't know what's wrong with me. And I'm at sea level now. So I can't say it's altitude. I got a good night's sleep last night. So I can't say it's that. It's,
maybe your brain has too much oxygen.
Yeah, you know what? That's it. I'm too much oxygen.
You're down at A level.
I can't even tell you the other 3 or 4 things. Hi, dog. I can't even tell you the other 3 or 4 things that I just brain farted this morning.
you know, some of the bad news. We were just talking about indoor drag racing, but, you know, this year, again, some more drag strips closed. I saw an article online and, you know, last year we had Bandimere, which is a famous drag strip, Sage Raceway. We almost saw Wild Horse Pass in Arizona close, but because of the Radford Racing deal, that continued that. But four more tracks around the country have closed. And, you know, I tried to dig into this to find out if it was insurance rates had gotten so high or if they were developing the area, you know, encroachment. Because it doesn't seem to be lack of interest. It's, but I couldn't really get a definitive. A lot of it looks, of course, to be encroachment and development, and it's probably a combination of all. You know, we go to the big nationals and things like that, but if you go to some of the local tracks that, you know, are just running weekly races and they can only run in good weather, you know, they don't have big crowds and big, you know, grandstand fees and stuff like that, that they're getting. And it's a lot harder. I mean, I know just recovering a parking lot at one of my buildings, how much that costs.
I cannot
imagine every year having to recover your drag strip, you know, and, you know, they've got to every once in a while redo the starting line, which is concrete. And then you've got the staging area. You know, people think, parking. Oh yeah, the drag strip. But yeah, there's also the staging, the pit area, you know, all that. And it gets very costly. And, you know, it's tough when you see these close, because every track that closes are fewer people that are going to have a place to race, fewer guys that are going to be modifying their cars for racing. And that's all part of our whole industry, you know, so it's
Definitely. And the convenience, you know, because a lot of those drag cars, they may be streetable, but they probably converted them to perform better on the track, which means they're not as streetable. So yeah, I'll just drive it to the track in air quotes. But it makes it a little harder because now they got to trailer it, or now they got to convert it when they get there. So they got to tow stuff and carry stuff and more equipment and more fuel. And yeah, it's the economics of the whole thing is really a bummer. And well, it's and a sign of the time.
There's the carry on too. There might be a chassis guy in that local city now who's going to build chassis for, or there might be an engine builder or two, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And
And you think, well, it's no big deal, 'cause they can always ship it. Well, shipping costs have skyrocketed. Fuel costs have skyrocketed. It's really a sign of the times.
Shipping costs have skyrocketed.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that, but I just wanted to bring it up. We spoke last week about CES was coming, and that a lot of the car companies are starting to use that as a launch because their cars are basically rolling computers now.
Exactly.
Did you see that Honda Saloon?
No, I saw a couple cars, but I didn't see what they were.
You gotta Google this. It's called Honda Saloon.
Honda Saloon.
And they are telling me that it's more than a concept. And it is like something out of a movie we saw in the 80s, man. And it's...
Oh, yes, I did see that. Yeah.
It's got some Star Wars going on there. I mean, it is... you know, crazy looking, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's there's some neat stuff. And there's that electric van, I think, that was there too.
Oh yeah. The Honda Space Hub.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like and the grill is like a multimedia presentation.
I know.
the other one was, there was a Mullen 5RS, I think it was called.
Yeah. There's some neat stuff.
It was a good looking vehicle. You know, I don't know what the whole thing is, but 1,000 horsepower equivalent. Kia also had a van that really got people talking that, you know, could be used for transport. And they had another one that was kind of like a dolled up golf cart. I mean, I know I'm really dumbing that down, but give me an idea.
A lot of stuff looks like a dolled up golf course.
Yeah. But I mean, it was
golf cart. I said golf court. Brad, I'm telling you.
Golf court.
I should just go back to sleep.
Have you been following? I don't even have any notes on this. I'm just winging this. But have you been following where we're going with flying vehicles?
A little bit. There's a lot of stuff out there.
All of a sudden.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. And a lot of them are 3D printed, which blows my mind. Yeah. There's these ginormous 3D printers now.
Yeah, like we're in houses now, you know? I mean, it's like...
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing that got me intrigued was there is one that's available now. And it's... now, there's one... Let me go back a little bit. There's one that looks almost like a beautiful jet-propelled helicopter fuselage with four big motors. And that has been cleared... to be a air taxi during the Olympics this summer in France.
I know, right?
Like, and
okay.
It's supposed to be autonomous, but they didn't clear it for autonomy. It has to have a pilot inside, which would make me feel a little bit better.
Sure.
But that thing is beautiful. I mean, it really is. But
yeah, I'm looking at that now.
Really got me, and I wish I had notes on this because I'd love to bring up the name, but there's a new one out that is $30,000. It's not as cool looking. It looks more like, you know, like a little pod with some motors on it. But the review said it is the easiest thing to fly that you've ever been in. I mean, that basically, if you can drive a car, you could fly this. The way they've done everything. It's not a joystick. It's not like a control like you think of flying a drone. It's a steering wheel and an up and down, and it will go at angles and everything. And they're saying that it is already cleared to that you do not have to have a license to fly it.
Jeez.
As long as you're in a rural area.
Right.
So let's say where you're at right now, Aaron. If you were in one of these for $30,000 and you wanted to fly, you know, from where you're at to the other side of the orchard, or if you wanted to fly up into the hills and you could go everywhere, as long as you weren't going over populated area, you could fly there. And I was thinking,
nuts.
Would that be awesome? I mean, like if you had a ranch somewhere, or if you had, I mean, I can see ranchers because they use helicopters now to go out and check the herd. And, or farmers that go out and check their fields. But I could think of, like, if you're really wealthy and you had some beautiful house in Montana, you wanted to fly into town, you would fly just to the edge of town, land, and have your truck parked there and drive in, you know, or whatever. I mean, that'd be for $30,000. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I'm curious of its range, though. Its range might be to the other end of the vineyard.
No, its range was pretty decent. It was
30 miles.
I'm going to say like 45 minutes or something like that.
Oh, so, wow. Okay. So, yeah.
But anyways, and while we're talking about vehicles and like that, did you hear that Hertz is offing a huge part of their rental car fleet? Let me just say their electric vehicle rental car.
Oh, man.
Are you on the episode a couple back, or were you gone when I was telling Matt about when I was at the rental car counter and about they were trying to push those?
No, and we've had a lot of conversations.
There were like three people in front of me in line, and they're like, we could upgrade you to a Tesla. Would you like one of those at no extra charge? And no, I don't want one. Next person, I don't want one. I get up there and I just walked up and I went, no, I don't want one of those. And then I go, what? One of those Teslas. You know, and he goes, I know, nobody does, man. He goes, it's just so if you want a Tesla cheap, you go to Hertz rental car and they're offering them all. I went over and looked, and you can get like a Model Y with like really low miles, all the maintenance records and everything for like $20,000.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the Model X with the flip-up doors for like 34.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's half of retail right now. Or you know, half of market.
They don't want them. They don't want them on their books because all they're doing is taking up parking spaces.
Yeah. Wow. And you know they're lightly used because nobody wants them.
and you know that they're maintenance because they have to maintenance them according to the standards.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
wow. They might have a little cigarette smoke in them, but you know.
Well, most of the rental cars nowadays are non-smoking, but you don't know what else there might be in that car.
Right, right, right. Because it is 420 after all.
420, man. Hey,
sorry if you hear some noises, folks. Pesto.
Speaking of smoking or not smoking, exhausting.
Right.
You just got exhausted in your Jeep, didn't you?
Leeway Brad. Segway Brad? No, what is it?
Segway Brad. Not a two-wheeled Segway, just a Segway.
Segway. Oh, Bradley. I'm having trouble today. So I maybe that's the deal.
You remember where you went?
Yeah, I came from Maui to Tahoe to Napa to Southern California to Tahoe to Napa in like a week.
You need a Napa.
Yeah, I need a Napa. So Richard invited Richard Waitis and our friend invited me to come and participate in some new ideas at MagnaFlow on the Jeep. So he's developing MagnaFlow overlanding, and he's got some obviously a system on his Jeep, and some other folks, Trail Recon, and a few others have some new systems, and this is really, really cool. Pardon?
You needed a guinea pig.
Yeah.
And a test fit vehicle.
Yeah. And I squeal a lot, so I think I qualify. But what'd they do to it?
What'd they put on?
So I drove there and we put it up on the lift.
Stacks going up the side now. They're chrome with perforated panels.
Got dual stacks with tennis shoes on the top is the little, Now, they yanked that thing out in less than a minute, just sawzalled it in half and out it came. And they put in one of their new systems. And I'm really fascinated by the new technology. And I did a full tour of the place, and I really, really have a better understanding of exhaust in general, you know, not just the way MagnaFlow does it, but just the whole concept. You know, we always think, you know, we'll straight pipe our exhaust, you know, we'll do a flow through, we'll do this, we'll do that. I mean, he showed me on some machines that a straight through exhaust is actually less efficient than a muffled exhaust because of the way air travels. And it's really, really interesting. I mean, like really, really interesting. And I had no idea.
More horsepower.
Yeah.
With the pipes than even like an open exhaust. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. A proper exhaust system that's tuned and fitted for that vehicle is far superior than a straight pipe. And there is no argument that the CFM, you know, that the airflow mapping alone and the turbulence and all that is really, really interesting. It's substantial too. It's not just like, oh, well, you're only saving two CFM. It's like, no. It's quite a percentage. But just the rare the rare stuff that goes into the cats and really understanding, you know, the shape and the design and the science, you know, it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. He was very generous with his time and his resources and showing me around.
They've got that big, I call it mission control, that big room where they've got all the things that read everything.
And not only that, like when they test their stuff, you know, that they have a two-wheel drive and a four-wheel drive system, but you know, they have to exhaust the air from that system. They have to preheat the vehicles, and they have to do all these things to test for emissions and do it right, because they have to recreate real world stuff.
Yep.
And you don't realize how much is involved in just testing for emissions. You know, it's really, really complicated. And they have all these tanks full of different gases and you know, we saw some of this at SEMA in their test facility too, which I guess is one of the most state-of-the-art ones in California, at the SEMA garage. But really, really cool. But they put a new system on, and they have a really neat part of a drone and muffler system that has a little offshoot that comes out. It's almost parasitic in some way, and they put different canisters on it to tune. And those have to pressurize and like all these really neat things, you know, so they're kind of neutral.
How does it sound?
It sounds good. So we chose something quiet because we're overlanding and we wanted something, you know, relatively quiet, but that little cartridge, I can actually unscrew the band and slip on a cap or slip on a pipe, a straight pipe, you know, coming out of that, and it'll kind of work as a bypass. And yeah, I can actually change the volume. So I'm actually
going to amazing. I know the days of headers and glass packs are long behind us.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, I mean, and their exhausts for the most part aren't expensive. I mean, it's not like, oh, I'm going to get a $4,000 exhaust system from Makropovic or something. Actually, they're probably $40,000 for those, but, yeah, it's relatively affordable. I mean, compared to what, considering what it is. But the technology behind this,
really, that's where you really see the difference, is how they research and development, all of that. But also, when you do go for something that's a little more performance oriented, where you're going to have an exhaust note like that, it's not just that exhaust note, it's the getting rid of the resonation, because driving down the freeway, you don't want that resonation, that drone that just drives you nuts, you know?
It just cancels out your nice stereo you just put in.
Exactly.
And there's no droning at all. In fact, the exhaust is so quiet that I'm hearing.
Oh, no. If you listen to this show, there's lots of droning going
on. Yeah, right. Hey, Brad, where are you doing your dance?
We're droning on all the time.
but my engine noise is louder than my exhaust right now. So I'm definitely going to put that little cap on so I can get a little more volume just for daily driving. And then if we go out and do a trip or on the trail, then I'll put the other one back on. But I should gain, according to Richard's specs, I should gain about 1 mile per gallon, around 7 horsepower, and around 11 pounds of torque, and those are tested and you know, as far as we know, very accurate numbers. Because Richard, if any of you know Richard, then you probably know him from a lot
of. We're talking about Richard Waitis, by the way. Company, Richard. Aaron, you should. Mention the name of the company.
Magnaflow.
There you go.
is Richard is an incredible, you know, he's an engineer by trade, a very educated man, but he's got that brain too, that he's just a detail nut, and he's extremely methodical. Oh man. So yeah, anything he throws at me is probably a little conservative even. But you know, it's deadly accurate. The guy is just on the ball. And that took all of about 20 minutes. The tour took about an hour. And then we spent the rest of the day just talking Star Wars and RC cars. And I had the best, longest 4-hour lunch with him.
Awesome.
And it was really, really a nice day, a very nice day. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, Magnaflow. Thank you, Richard. And the wonderful people there, because it's hard, because I always feel my loyalty is in question, because you know, I know David Borla very well, and I worked with Flowmaster for 30 years, and you know, it's hard to bounce around, but everybody's friendly, and these are all friend relationships, so you know, you can have many friends. Really good guy, really good guy.
You know, I know a couple guys that own these. They're not, I can't believe they're 20 years old now. The Porsche Carrera GT. Do you remember when those things came out? First of all, they're a beautiful design, but they just seemed so exotic. And you know, they were so expensive at the time. But now, you know, $1.5 million when you see them go across the stage at auctions and like
that. Easy. Yeah. Easy.
And, but the problem is you can have all the money in the world, Aaron, but if your car is hit with a factory don't drive order.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that
a brick order.
So last April, Porsche notified the owners, that there was a recall campaign, and they said that the spherical joints that connect the wishbone suspension components on the front and rear axles can fail due to damage from mechanical stress and corrosion.
Oof.
Owners were advised not to drive their vehicles until the repair has been performed. Dealers would inspect their suspension joints, and they're advised not to drive their vehicle until it's repaired, once parts are available. Well, that was April 27th of 2023.
Man.
Well, they just notified owners that, hey, good news. We might have parts in the third quarter of 2024. So, if you haven't seen one of those show up at your local Cars and Coffee or anything, you might know why. So, you know, we were talking off air about the Ford GTs because I helped your dad and Mikey get theirs with Ford. And then shortly after they got them, they had a suspension notice and they would send the flatbed out, pick it up, take it to the dealership, repair it and get it right back out. But that was pretty quick. It was a pretty quick turnaround and that nothing like this. I mean, that's for a company the size of Porsche. All I can think of is that the supplier that they used 20 years ago to build those is no longer around. So they had to totally tool up for it again, probably.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah.
And, you know, because you could say, oh, why didn't they just go to the parts bin? Why? Because the parts they had were no good.
Yeah, exactly. You know? They have to start over again.
Yeah. And wow. That's, you see this with car companies all the time where they're building something and something, it's such a big part of the car builder business where, you know, if you were a small manufacturer, it could put you out of business like that. You know, just
yeah, of course. And you know, and it's interesting to see that, you know, there's no company out there that is immune to this. It happens to even companies like Porsche. It's the engineering behind this stuff, especially for a company like Porsche and, you know, Ferrari, Lamborghini and Koenigsegg and all these companies, not to say they have a lot of problems. Oh, wait, Koenigsegg I was talking about. They all the rest of them do. But, you know, the engineering involved is often so cutting edge that, you know, the processes in doing it are new too. And sometimes you just don't know until, like you said, due to corrosion and age and stress and things that they can't always predict or didn't have the models to predict back then that like they do now. You know, the engineering models, I don't know if you've ever delved into that a little bit, but it is fascinating.
We use it on our wheels where we,
oh yeah,
if this spoke is this thick and this, you know, it does a stress analysis in the computer. And, you know, we used to, back when I owned Boyd's Wheels, we used to have to build a wheel, send it out to an independent lab, and they would do radial and lateral testing, and we'd get a certificate. Now you can do it all in the CAD program, and it's
not amazing. I mean, the algorithms and computations involved to do that are just are mind blowing. And and I got to see some of that at MagnaFlow as well. You know, not just X-ray machines and whatever else that they use, you know, to check cracks and stuff as well, but they have all this computer technology and all this stuff that they use to master their products and make sure that they're safe and reliable and the best of the best. So very, very
well,
cool.
You know, we talk about all this and sometimes it's not even the car manufacturer. As an example, think of the Takata airbag recall that was like almost every single car manufacturer because the supplier messed up. And, you know, that was everything from Bentleys to Hondas to, I mean, you know, because they were such a huge manufacturer to everyone.
And over a long period of time, too. Oh, so that's a lot of vehicles.
And now there's a new one. Another, you know, whoever took over their place, I saw one. And I'm not going to say anything because I don't know the details. But I just saw something come across the other day that there's some other big recall and manufacturers are kind of fighting it a little bit going, wait a minute. You know, we can't take another hit like this, you know? So.
Imagine what that cost a dealer. I'm curious to hear about the business side of that and how they get, you know, recouped costs and things like that.
Well, but Takata, they filed for bankruptcy. So, you know, I mean, cause they had billions and billions of dollars.
Oh God. Yeah.
Stuff out on the market. Hey, sticking with the cold weather thing, okay. Sticking with that, okay. I got some information that I found on the interweb, and I thought it was kind of fun. But I wanted you to, while you were down here in Southern California, and you failed to come by and say hi.
But I did message that I
by my place twice, once on your way to MagnaFlow, and then once on your way out to Riverside. That's all right. Don't worry about it.
You're the cause of all the traffic, aren't you?
Yes.
When Brad stuff, their line begins here.
You went out to Riverside and you added another new doo-diddy to your Jeep. What was that?
I added a bigger doo-diddy. So Linkswell at SEMA, I had Kicker and Linkswell in the Jeep trying to work on a couple little incompatibilities we had. And they're like, hey, we've got the new unit coming out in January. We're supposed to get our first dozen or so for testing. Why don't you come out and we'll put it in the Jeep. We'd love to hear you and get your feedback. So I was like, yeah, of course, sure. You know, this one's great, but I'd love some improvements because it's still missing some stuff. You know, it was developed during COVID. So unfortunately, a lot of stuff that it intended to have didn't quite make it to market. And they were constantly adding modules and updates and, you know, it's fine. They're expansive systems anyway. They're modular, but so I went to Riverside and pulled up and I turned around and turned around again, and it was out, and there was spaghetti and puking out of the dash already.
Like I'm not familiar with Linkswell, so tell everyone
super fast.
What they make, what they do, and what it performs.
Sorry, I'm forgetting, brain fade. So Linkswell is really a family-owned company partnered with a manufacturer in China, who's also a family company. And they make these incredible big giant screens to replace OEM in your Fords and Chevys and Jeeps and Mopars and a lot of other units. I put one in the Honda. So they make universal units as well. Check them out at Linkswell, at Linkswell Inc., I believe it is. But just an amazing. So this is a 15-inch vertical screen, and it is massive. I mean, the old one was massive. This one is mega massive.
Is that the reason one side of your face is darker than the other? Because you
were driving, if you notice,
you got a little sunburn.
Yeah. If you well, this side's actually bleached because it's nuclear. It dissolved the pigment in this area.
Yes.
It's a head unit. It's a big screen head unit, Android based. But it's a mega system, man. I mean, you know, you could have a dozen cameras under your vehicle and on the sides, and there's modules and expansion systems for all of it. So you can add all the bells and whistles as you go. They have, I call them modules, that they may have a different name for them, but they have little expansion modules for just about every accessory you can imagine.
Things that you added to yours that makes it even better than the head one, the factory one, excuse me.
Everything. Everything, because it captures all the factory, pretty much all the factory settings, and more. But because it's Android based, you can download any of the apps pretty much that you can put on your phone, and you can integrate them into the screen. So, I mean, you could play a game system. You know, you can have your passenger play a game system that's out of your line of sight while driving. While at a stop, while in a parking lot, not driving, and Netflix and Onyx and Gaia Maps, you know, I use it mostly for that. And the map is, you know, what was it? 9x15.
You're not squinting.
I'm glancing. I'm not squinting at a screen. And I had the full size screen on it before, which I think was a 5 or 6 inch screen. And then I was like, wow, that looks great. You know, and then I got the 12 and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And now I have the 15. I'm like, holy shit. But it's great. It's wonderfully useful. While I'm looking at the road, it's in my peripheral, and it's big enough in my peripheral that I can tap it without really looking at it. And I couldn't even do that with the last system. So that is a big deal. And it's got one knob at the bottom, which has a couple of different functions. So once you're in that setting on the screen, whether it's your AC or econ or maps or whatever it is, you can just tap that wheel and access stuff very quickly. So it's very intuitive. It has more buttons, which kind of go to your routes for your phone link and for your maps and for your air conditioning and things like that, where it didn't have before. It's got a lot of really smart, intuitive upgrades. I'm really impressed with it. I mean, the company's cool. They're good people. Walt and his family are really good people. And it's really
that you're getting older, you're gonna need that bigger screen there, Aaron. You know,
so yeah.
I saw your video on Instagram, and you were wearing a pair of glasses, and you had like three of them on your collar.
Okay, I had my reading glasses, my sunglasses, and safety glasses, because I was in between different buildings at MagnaFlow, and I'm not like Guy Fieri where I put them on the back of my neck because then you're like, where are my glasses? They're on the back.
Yeah, then you're like,
why are they there?
I knew I had them somewhere.
And my wife put them there so she could get them. You know, buy a backpack. I don't know, but yeah, I have nothing but great things to say. It's really, really cool. All I had to do was change the time, because we forgot to do that because they knocked it out so fast.
I drove home. How many wires when they pull the factory one out? Man, you know, there's 100 wires.
Yeah, and because I had done the old system and then had someone else improve on it, and then we did another job at SEMA and subtracted and added more wires, it was a mess of wires. So he pulled
them
all out.
It's like the sign at the shop. Here's our rate. If we do it, it's this much. If you want to help, it's this much.
Yeah.
Somebody else is going to help too. Then it's...
You know, my Land Rover buddy in Washington, he has a help rate. Like, I will help and assist you for this fee. And it's actually less, but yeah, because he wants people to learn and work on their stuff. He can't schedule everybody. He's not losing business by helping people. I thought it was pretty cool. It's kind of cooperative, you know?
Now, see,
but again, it's Washington, so.
I think they should program, on those screens. You know how the screens, a lot of them now, like phones and like that, if you're looking at it, it lights up. It actually senses that you're looking at it, you know? They should program it to where when you look away, there's like some like shadowy figure that comes on and goes. And then when you look, it's gone. You're like,
I'm sure there's
or there was something there.
I'm sure there's an app for that.
They call it the freak out phase. It'd be the 420, the screen, 420
there
screen.
You go.
Man.
The paranoia.
No, there was a dude there, man. He was staring at me, man.
Someone trapped inside my dash.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool, actually, as a screensaver. But like they put the picture of our Jeep. We backed it up in the parking lot next to these big silos and took a picture and put it on the screen. And the screen's much faster. It has much a bigger, I think it's 8 megabytes now instead of 4. You know, it just has more space and capacity. And when you turn on the car, boop, it pops right up. I got to say, there's not like a minute lag like there was before. It's cool. It's cool,
they
man.
Remembered to hook up the right wire that raises it.
No, again, you know, we're not in COVID. There's not as much supply issues, and but I have like the second one, which I'm really honored and very thankful that in my life and career that you know, it's like we have friends, you know, MagnaFlow. Hey, let's do an experiment here. We're gonna try this combination and see what you think here. Here's a piece of technology that we're figuring out. It's the second one, you know.
Now, that's part of our industry. I mean, that's part
so
of
cool. Yeah.
What we get to do and
so cool.
People and so, hey, okay. So I told you I wanted you to talk about that. And then I was going to tell you about something that I saw on the web. But before I do that, I want to tell
you. You'd like to thank a sponsor?
I want to tell you that we have a new sponsor here on the show. His name is Sammy Hagar, and he's giving us 5% of the sale of his LaFerrari. We know. No, I just thought I'd throw in real quick. These are by Hagerty Media, the best cars up for grabs at the 2024 Arizona auctions. We've been talking about it. So in that list is this car, a 2015 Ferrari LaFerrari. And it's being offered by Van Halen singer Sammy Hagar. And
nice.
So it's goes into the whole thing. It's you know, I guess Hagar is known for a song called "I Can't Drive 55," and he had his Ferrari in that. And then it says that I'm looking for the quote. Here it is. Everyone asks why I'm selling it. It's so fast. It's so powerful. It's beyond my skills. And my kid always wants to drive it. And I tell him, it's way, if it's over my ability, it's way over you. Okay, so I added the last part.
Yes, you did. I've tracked more driving miles, I think, in my shorter life than Dad has in his.
Yeah, he had actually to transport driving, his cars.
Actually behind the wheel, yeah.
Well, it says, Hagerty Price Guide values for this Halo model Ferrari range from 2.75 million to 4.4 million. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
I think it'll go for more, personally. I think it'll go for more. I think that the value of those has continued to climb. I think the rarity has continued to help. And I think
variety.
And I think that Dad's car is one of one. It's the only one in the Avorio. It's the only one of its kind with that interior, and it's got barely over 1,000 miles on it. It's had all the servicing and all the updates and all the battery stuff. And
I want to ask one thing though.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
He told me, and I don't know if this is the right thing to do, but he told me that he fills the radiator with Beach Bar rum.
Yeah, so he puts Beach Bar rum in the radiator.
And that's and why it's faster than all the others, right?
Yeah, and his new lager is in the transmission.
There so we go. Somebody will go, is it really true that you've got...
I know, right? I gotta say, I love people and I love our listeners and I love people that follow on social media, but I wish people would realize, you know, we've got tens of thousands or more, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100,000 followers. So when someone asks a question like, I thought you moved to Napa, I just want to slap them sometimes because they don't realize that 500 people asked me that question this morning. And that means 500 or more people did not listen to the post and say, and then I have to pack the Jeep and take another load to Napa. Or they go, well, not everybody follows on social. Well, not everybody reads it. Well, just read a couple of the other comments and see if someone else answered the question. You know, people ask us questions that they could find online, which I know just means they want you to answer it for them because they want to communicate and have interaction, and that's fine. But it wakes me up in the morning and I yawn and go, oh, it's so beautiful, Napa. Oh, look, there's a hot air balloon coming up over the vineyard. My wife posted it. It was a gorgeous picture. And my dog is cuddling. And then I hit social media to do my morning routine of going through the messages and answering back. And I just shake my head and you know, my blood pressure goes up and one eye swells and, you know.
You need to do a post standing out there the next time a hot air balloon's going over the vineyard. And you need to be out there with a wine glass, but it's empty. And just
Right. A wine glass full of rocks.
Full of air.
Full of
air. So you just say, I'm drinking hot air. Okay, so we were talking about bad weather, inclimate, winter, all that. And I ran across an article that was kind of interesting and appropriate for this time. And was, I had to mute the cough button there. It is things that you shouldn't leave in your vehicle during freezing weather. Now, some of them are, I mean, come on. Yeah. Don't leave canned food because it could freeze, expand, and explode. Yeah. Don't leave cans of soda or anything like that. That's easy. But like medicines, people forget that they leave like their insulin or something like that. And I think they think it's like alcohol. Oh, it won't freeze. But yes, it can. It can damage it. But one of the interesting ones are guitars, violins, and other wood instruments.
Sure.
The freezing cold can change that structure, or they can expand, contract, do whatever, and it can mess up how they sound, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you know, this one was kind of interesting to me. Did you know, we wear these new glasses with UV coatings and things like that. Those can actually freeze and separate from the lens.
Wow, that's a surprise.
Know that one. That wow. was interesting. Now, the one that I found the most interesting, I think, was that it said, never leave your iPhone or your iPad or any of your personal electronic devices in your car, because the LCD screens can be damaged in low temperatures. And I thought of you the minute I read that. I thought, wait a minute. Every single new car has all these screens. Think of the Mercedes where the dash from yep. one door to the other is all, you know, LCD screens. So why are they in an insulated panel? Is that why? Or, you know, it's just weird.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know, I mean, Tesla keeps their cars at operating temperature, even in cold weather. And that's one of the reasons why we kind of wrote off Tesla when we moved to Tahoe, because it would lose, you know, the average of 10 miles a day range, keeping itself warm. I would think that there's a certain ambient temperature that's affected when the batteries and those kinds of things are kept warm. So it may not get below a threshold of safety for all that stuff. But yeah, anything that's suspended liquid, and that includes liquid crystal, you know, displays, anything that's a suspended liquid can be affected. And I would think, now that you mention it, that the UV coatings and things on glasses on a microscopic level might
suspended
retain
probably.
Some, yeah, that they might retain some sort of liquid state or crystal state, you know, which is affected by cold. I mean, cold causes things to crystallize and expand.
Well, it's like eggs were on this list. You don't really think of an egg freezing, but it could crack the sure. shell. Then you get all the stuff everywhere.
Oh yeah,
you that's never no yolk. Egg? That is no yolk.
No yolk. In fact, I was really worried about this while I was moving, because I couldn't move any of my liquids from the shop or any of my liquids from the house, all my art supplies and everything. I couldn't move those until the day I was moving, and literally packed them in and then drove away. Because if I left them overnight, for instance, I was home when I came back from LA, I went right to Tahoe because we had a big storm. And that night it was 1 degree, 1 degree. That's 1 degree over zero Fahrenheit. And that's freaking cold, and stuff does weird shit when it's that cold. I'll tell you right now. So I had an unnameable a water beverage, a flavored water beverage, a lemon of all things. Only the lemon explode in my fridge. Like the top sheared right off. The sides of the can split at regular cold temperatures. Like I keep my fridge relatively cold because it opens and closes all the time, the one in the Jeep. But while we were in Maui, the fridge in Maui was also set to a similar temperature. And
33
my
degrees.
Wife, yeah, I think, I don't remember what it was. I think it was like 32, and which would be freezing. No, I'm kidding. It was set cold, a fridge cold, you know. And my wife was sitting at the table outside, and she heard this noise, and she opened the fridge, and only that same liquid, that same water, lemon, only the lemon, there was like three different flavors in there, only the lemon had split and exploded and froze.
Maybe so you it's, go for the lemon law on that, you know.
Yeah. Oh, good breath. Okay. You're on.
I don't want to disappoint you. But I had strange? A beverage incident the other day too. Cut my finger, as a matter of fact. See, oh, look at that.
Yes.
I had one of these. I
right. It,
and I was on my way to work, went to open it, and I went like that, split, and sliced my finger. And I pulled over because I really was thirsty, took a car key. You know, every once in a while, these tabs pull off.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Took a car key, couldn't get it, and then realized they had never stamped the perforation. It was a solid top. It was like, oh, okay, no wonder it wouldn't open. So.
Hey, you know what? You can sell that for on eBay. But I thought that was very interesting that only the lemon, like they were in the same, they were right next to each other. Yeah, only and consistently now. So only the lemon has something to do with the formula. I'm going to write the company, but I have to document the exact temperature and give them more information. But yeah, only the lemon. And there were three different flavors in both the Jeep and the fridge in Maui. three different flavors, and only the lemon explodes and splits. So I'm really curious why that is.
While we're totally off subject here and talking about beverages, when the when the monorail first opened in Las Vegas,
right?
I don't know if you remember that very first year they had a Monster Energy one wrapped. It was wrapped under because they were like a sponsor,
right?
And at the stops, they had the machines, the Monster Energy beverage machines, and it would be 120 degrees out, be miserable. And that machine, and it said guaranteed 33 degrees. And I bought one, and let me tell you, 33 degree beverage tastes really good when it's 120 degrees out.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. You know, it was like just above freezing, and you take a drink of that, and you're like, oh. You know, you're taking the can, putting it on your forehead, you know.
which is what I believe I keep it at. So I believe I keep both fridges at 34 degrees, which I have to check.
Here's one, Aaron. Did you know that there are places that gasoline can actually freeze?
Really? With a lot of ethanol in it?
They said that in very cold climates around the world, there's antifreezes that they put in them. They said it's not usually the tank. That would be very highly unusual. But the fuel line, which gets some separation in it and some condensation, can freeze solid. So they put antifreeze added to the gas tank so that the fuel won't freeze. That was something news to me again.
Yeah, but it makes sense, especially with the ethanol. Even though the ethanol is alcohol and that wouldn't freeze, it's hydroscopic, so it tends to absorb water, and that can freeze, and diesel can freeze as well. Yeah,
that's why they keep those things running all the time in the wintertime.
Yeah, absolutely.
The last one was it was kind of evident, but I never thought of it, and this is only one that people who have been in cold climates, like living there, can really relate to it. But you have the little window scrapers, the plastic window scrapers. And they said people forget. They leave them in their car. Then they jump out and go to do it, and they're brittle.
Yep.
And they just snap and shatter. And they, you know, and I was like, yeah, no wonder that kept happening to me when I was a kid. You know?
Yeah. Plastic freezes. And one of the other things people have to be careful of, too, is your vehicle can freeze to the point where when you go to open the door, the rubber seals around your door freeze to the door frame because of the moisture and condensation when you're driving them, and they will freeze to your door frame, and then you go to rip open your door and you rip all the rubber seals, especially the neoprene, the kind of foam ones. Yep. You know, on the old vehicles, man, I've ripped out so many of those. I bought a Honda Element recently, and just for moving and economics, it just made sense. High miles, it's a good little car. And
quit bragging.
Yeah, exactly. And a bunch of the door trim was like torn apart. And I'm like, why is it all torn apart? Like, this is a good product. It doesn't just deteriorate, you know? And then we had a freezing night, and one of the doors froze, and I went, that's why the door trims off. Yep. So I ordered all new stuff, and the plastic clips that hold it, same thing. Those all broke.
What do you put on it? There's got to be some like lubricant or something that's got.
You can put some silicone spray on there, and it definitely helps. But I think silicone spray can freeze too under extreme temperatures. I don't know.
Well,
but
one of the things, you know, I moved to Nebraska. Yeah, I know. You've heard me say
it.
Jealous.
It was about a girl.
No. My dad got transferred. I moved there. Now, I moved from San Diego, California to Omaha, Nebraska in February. So that was a little bit of a culture shock clinical. Shock.
Something clinical about that statement.
When I bought my first car, my 67 Chevelle SS396 that I still have, by the way, when I bought it, I remember looking at that and going, why in the hell has that thing got an extension cord coming out of the grill?
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I was like, what the heck? And I asked my dad, I go, what? There's an extension cord coming from between the grill. And he goes, it's got a block heater. And I go, what? I didn't even know what it was. And they replaced, you know, this, you know, back then They replaced one of the frost plugs, and yeah. it would keep the fluids warm at night so that it, nothing would freeze, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Before all the great stuff you can put in your radiator like that. And I remember finding out that, oh, yeah, man, I got to plug that thing in so the block doesn't crack, you know, because like, that was the worst. Guys would let their water, you know, they wouldn't have Prestone in it or something like that, and they would, their block would freeze and crack, you know, or yeah. the least it would push out the frost plugs, you know.
The freeze plugs, yeah, yeah, that's, yeah. That's what those are for, partially, people. Is if you ever seen those little metal discs that just kind of appear to be randomly, you know, harboring inside the sides of your block. That's what those are. You know, Brad, that reminded me when we were in Alaska. I think I took a picture of it, but we were walking, we were restocking at a
some
a
guy local had a Walmart extension cord coming out of the back of his jeans.
Yeah, right. we were walking through the parking lot, and every vehicle. You could always tell a local vehicle as opposed to an out of town.
Oh, they all had them.
Because us out of towners didn't have them, but all the local vehicles all had about, you know, an 18 inch cord sticking out of their hood, out of their grill in most cases. And yeah, that's what exactly what that's for. And you forget those things, except in places that it gets really cold.
Yeah. I mean, it's that's why I said you would only know it if you live somewhere where, you know, and nowadays it's not as, you know, because there's so many great fluids that they put in the cars. And
every vehicle had one, Brad. Brand new vehicles, older vehicles, every single vehicle had one in Alaska. So I think even new vehicles, despite those fluids, it's still a safety measure.
Yeah. Well, in extreme conditions,
exactly. Like I've never seen one in Tahoe. Like some diesels, but the diesels have a little plug. Like it's a little more hidden. You know, it's not just hanging out the front. But all these cars just had them hanging out the front, which it was so funny to walk by and just see, like, what's wrong with this picture? Every single car has a little limp, you know, cord hanging out of the
nose. What they should do is they should have a little LED light that when it's plugged in, so you can look out your window when it's like 26 below and go, oh, yeah, I plugged it in. There's like a red glow underneath the car, you know? I remember that going, did I plug it in? Oh, man, I don't want to go out there, you know?
It's already up to my knees.
Yeah. Those are the days. Taking your, you know, now it's not going to snow anymore. I'm taking my snow tires off, man. And then you take them off, and then sure enough, the next week it'd be, damn it, you know, and didn't want to leave the Kragers on because you didn't want to get them in the salt and then the chrome peels off.
Right. Or the aluminum if they're cast.
All right. We've wrapped up another show. And so, hey, everyone, don't forget, you can get every back episode by going to shiftandsteer.com and some other content there, too. We've got videos. You can find links to people that we work with, like Leverack there. And go check it out and be sure to follow Shift and Steer on Instagram. We're on Twitter too, but Instagram's kind of like that's our jam, man. That's where we go. And I think Aaron's on the internet also. Where can they find you,
Aaron? At Aaron Napa Hagar. No, just anywhere is Aaron Hagar. And it's funny because I was looking through, if you see a bunch of likes on our Instagram, I was going through and grabbing screenshots from my friend Matty J, a British chap. He's asking about podcasts. He had never listened to one. And I said, oh, you should check out some of the shows. So I was screenshotting some of the episodes and saying, check this one. This was a good one. Check this one out. This was a good one. And I was running down the rabbit hole. And so I was liking things I had liked on the Instagram.
Oh, there you go.
There's some really, really good shows. And shout out to your man because he's doing a great job on those covers. There's some great covers. So big
and that's
shout
why
out.
You got to go to the website and to the Instagram just to check out the cover art for every show.
Really fun.
You know,
really, really fun.
A lot of fun. So, all right. Totally. And please check me out. Follow me, Bradley_Fanshawe on Instagram. Also, WinBrad Stuff. And don't forget, if you need wheels, go to Bond Speed Wheels. We make the world's best two-piece forged billet wheels. And I'm not just the only one saying that. A lot of customers.
You, yeah. Rick, and Charlotte.
Yes. Now, you know, like today, I have a customer that is building a 1940 Willys, and we're doing a set of 20 by 15s that we've done for him, and the little skinnies up front. And it's, you know, we did a custom powder coat. Now I have the striper here today laying down some hand-painted lines just to accent. I mean, these are one-off wheels. They're really trick. And, you know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, Mikey's got them on his cars. Dad's got some on his cars. I mean,
Greg Jackson, we did some for his Shelby that we built. We do them. Maddie's got something. Yeah, your dad. We've been doing wheels for his cars and Kari's Tahoe and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so,
But not on the LaFerrari, so you won't be able to get Bondspeed wheels on that LaFerrari.
You can't get anything. That car is almost as difficult as an airplane. Like I told Dad, man, this rug is horrible, Pop. Why don't you just get a different rug? He goes, do you know how hard it is just to get a new rug to put down in front of the coffee machine? Like, you can't just bring a rug and put it down in the coffee machine. It's got to be approved by the FAA and this and that, and it's got to be a certain material. And he goes, that's a $10,000 rug. And I'm like, well, it's got wine on it. He goes, I know.
Yeah, that's a big deal because
it is a big deal. Well, LaFerrari's the same way, man. It's like, how much for a 12-volt battery?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, you talk about your dad's jet. And when I used to work with that company way back when, Bombardier Aircraft, and there was the time that they sent me the wingtips. They sent me two wingtips to make sculpture out of. And they wanted for their corporate headquarters. And I was like, yeah, I can do something with that. So I got them. Now what, like, look at your dad's jet. First of all, when you look at it, when it's out there, even on the tarmac and you're walking around it, those wing tips don't seem as large as when they are delivered into your warehouse, okay? And then I didn't realize that it looks like they just butt up to the end and are bolted on. There's an overlap. So I had to create some sheet metal to match that so that it would be even and look finished off and everything. And I say to the guys, I go, hey, I need some more of those, you know, those flush fitting fasteners so that everything matches. And the guy goes, let me see what I can do. Calls me back. He goes, Brad, I can't get those. And I go, what? And he goes, well, they're titanium. They're magnafluxed. Every single one is X-rayed. And I mean, we are talking a fastener that is probably a quarter of an inch long. And it is probably 2/8 wide. And he told me that.
Like a rivet.
What's that?
It's kind of like a rivet?
But no, it's an Allen head, okay?
Oh, okay.
But it's made out of titanium. It's all Magnaflux and everything. And each one has to be X-rayed and certified by the FAA. And I was asking for like 20 of them. And he goes, yeah, they'd be like, $5,000. And I go, whoa. I go, can you just send me some used ones? You know, like when you take a plane apart, like you took these wingtips off. And he goes, we can't. He goes, because there's been so much in this industry over time where somebody will dismantle a plane and then sell the parts on the black market or something.
Right.
Every single nut, bolt, screw that they take off, they put in. Did you ever get those little chocolate gold things when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
In a little bag with a little pole thing on the top, and they were like gold mine candy or whatever.
Right, yeah.
It looked like that. And they were in there with this tag that was made out of fabric and their serial numbers and how many were in there. He goes, they all have to go back and be proven that they were destroyed.
Whoa.
So they don't go on. Crazy. So I said, okay, I see what you're saying. So I went down to McMaster Car and found something that was really close, spray painted them so they looked like they were titanium, you know?
Right.
But I mean, the stuff you learn, but when you're at 30,000 feet flying somewhere, you want to know that that little screw that's holding the end of your wing on is brand new.
I know. Dad's plane is just immaculate. It's beautiful. I'm sorry. My dog is having a moment ripping. He's got the zoomies right now, so he's ripping. and he had his his little, we call it an egg roll. It's a little no hide, you know, and he's ripping around on the rug here going nuts. That was, I love it. All right.
Well, we're going to call it quits. And we will be back next week. That's a promise, not a threat. So for Shift and Stare, we're out of here.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Everything is changing so fast, but now with Xfinity, you can power a house full of devices at once with ultra-low lag. Do more of what you love with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.